This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. We often talk about summer theater on this show, but winter is arguably an even better time to transport yourself from the cold and dark into a warm new world brought to life by a talented group of thespians. At the Lyric Theater Company practice space in Williston, actors are hard at work preparing for their upcoming production of Mary Poppins.
Here so that we can work out our next traffic pattern. It shouldn't be too crazy because all you're doing is switching places, correct?
Well, joining us now is the person who was directing that traffic pattern, Lyric Theater Company director and choreographer, Kate Whalen. Kate, nice to talk with you.
Nice to talk with you too, Jane. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, we're excited to talk winter theater today. So tell me where you are right now in the rehearsals for Mary Poppins.
So we are in the midst of week number two for rehearsals. We started the second weekend in January, and we've got about 2 months to go.
What has you excited about that production? I mean, 2 weeks in, there's still a long way to go, and I can imagine there are some things that have you nervous, but what's really got you jazzed?
Well, so far, the cast is really amazing. From, you know, Mary, the Elizabeth Pattison is playing Mary, and she's really fantastic. All through all of the dancers, the children in the show, they're really amazing. We've focused a lot on the number that you just were hearing a little bit of, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and it's coming together quite well so far. It's just amazing.
You know, I mentioned that there are probably some things that have you nervous. I'm curious if that's true. I mean, you know you have a fabulous cast and you know that this will all come together. But from your perspective as a director and choreographer, do you have those moments early on in rehearsals the same way many authors do when they just get started on a new novel that, oh my God, this is never going to work?
I will say that I probably have moments of nervousness every single day, sometimes at 4 o'clock in the morning. but these shows always have a way of really coming together and gelling, even if it seems like it's at the very last minute. And we have so many wonderful people who are working on the show. You know, certainly there are those thoughts of, oh, is this going to work? How is this going to look? You know, is this technical aspect of the show going to happen the way that we're wanting it to? But again, with the great group that we have, both on stage and off stage, I really don't have any true worries.
And I understand there are going to be some fireworks. Mary Poppins is going to fly.
Mary Poppins is indeed going to fly. It's pretty magical. You know, she gets carried on the wind by that umbrella of hers.
And, you know, people are probably now getting excited to see this. So we're going to have to put the damper on a little bit. When are the productions and when can people actually see Mary Poppins?
Sure. So the show opens on Friday, April 1st. And it goes through that weekend, Friday, two shows on Saturday and one show on Sunday. And we're so lucky that we actually get to be performing at the Flynn for 2 weekends. That's pretty unusual for a Lyric show. The second weekend starts Thursday, April 7th, and we go through Sunday the 10th, and again, two shows on Saturday the 9th, and tickets are on sale now. and again, we're so lucky that we get to perform on that amazing, beautiful, big Flynn stage.
But that's, of course, not where you practice. That rehearsal that we crashed is actually in your new practice space in Williston, which perhaps doesn't sound very exciting to those of us who are not part of Lyric Theater Company. Why is it exciting to have a new practice space that the company has purchased?
Yeah, it's great for us. So the purchase of this building was actually the result of a capital campaign that I think lasted for about 2 years. Previously, we have this small warehouse space that we've far outgrown. That's where we build the sets and, you know, sew the costumes and store the props and whatnot. And we were having to find rehearsal space elsewhere, which was an expense for us, first of all, and as a nonprofit organization, you know, we want to make every penny counts towards what you see on stage. And then, you know, the challenge was if somebody needed to try on a costume, they'd have to miss out on a piece of rehearsal or try to find another time to go there. And this new space that we've bought will eventually allow rehearsals and the set building and costumes and everything else that goes on for Lyric to happen under one roof. It's very lucky for us.
I'm talking with Kate Whalen. She's director and choreographer for the Lyric Theater Company. And we're talking about winter theater today on the show. Listeners, if you'd like to weigh in, you can call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or post a note at vpr.net/Vermont Edition. We're hoping somebody will call in character, perhaps, today.
Ooh.
But really, anything is up for grabs. If you're a fan of winter theater, tell us why you like going out at this time of year, how it feels different to you from the summertime. Kate, at Lyric, everybody is a volunteer, all the actors, that is. All of the actors are working sort of for their own passion. They're not getting paid for their time in these productions, right?
Correct. Yep. Everybody that you see on stage and working backstage, everybody is giving all of this amazing time, lots and lots and lots of hours spent, and all these people, they are students or they have full-time jobs and they have families, and for the love of theater, they give their time.
And you must have very young cast members in Mary Poppins, unless you have some actors who are really working on regressing to childhood stage.
We might have a few of those, but we have 4 kids in the show, the youngest of whom is, I believe he's 9 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty wonderful. And then I think our oldest kid, I think it's 13. So there are 4 kids in the show total, and they are all fabulous.
What's different about winter productions in your mind from summer ones? Anything at all?
Winter shows, I think people are sort of looking for a way to escape from the cold and to have their heart warmed by something they might be seeing on stage. So I think it feels a little bit different. A lot of times, at least for me, it seems summer theater can be more of a tourist attraction, for people who are visiting Vermont, whether it be Burlington or Stowe or wherever. And in the wintertime, maybe it's more of that core kind of audience that's around town, just looking for something to do.
Kate Whalen is director and choreographer for Lyric Theater Company, based in Williston, performing Mary Poppins at the Flynn Theater in Burlington in April. Thank you so much for talking with us, Kate. Good luck with the rest of your rehearsals.
Thank you so much, Jane. Bye-bye.
We are looking at winter theater productions today, finding some dramatic ways to get out of the cold and the dark of January, February, March, sometimes even April, and transport yourself to other worlds. Tell us what theater companies you patronize and what you're really looking forward to this season. You can add to the discussion at vpr.net/Vermont Edition. Or call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. We're hearing from people all over the state, like Vanessa, who says, "We love Main Street Arts in Saxton's River. This little community art center packs a theatrical punch. Having just completed a regional tour of Jacques Brel Is Alive and Well and Living in Paris, which toured to Keene, Brattleboro, Chester, Putney, Grafton, and Bellows Falls, we are deep in rehearsals for our upcoming musical Bat Boy, which will open March 4th. And Josh in Essex Junction says, "I just want to put in a plug for our local community theater company, Essex Community Players. This year, their winter show is the musical The Last 5 Years. It's the story of a young couple going through their 5-year relationship and marriage from beginning to end, and from the end back to the beginning. It is in turns funny and emotional, a work perfectly suited to the intimacy of Essex Players' performance space at Memorial Hall." So share your company, share your character with us. If you're currently in rehearsals, maybe you're into that method where you don't ever get out of character. So feel free to have that person give us a call at 1-800-639-2211 or post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. And we turn now to Brandon Batham, president of Vermont Theater Company in Brattleboro. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Jane.
So you're not in character, right? You are Brandon today.
I am in character today. I'm always constantly playing the role of busy human adult. And I'm very much in character right now, taking a break from work to talk about my other great passion.
Well, yeah, that's an act many of us are used to performing. So I understand that Vermont Theater Company does 4 to 5 productions a year. Do you think about the seasons when you decide when you're going to stage a specific play?
Well, when we look at the seasons, you know, and we're actually right now, every year we start at this time to formulate our season for this next upcoming season, which will go from September through June. You know, we try to look at, you know, the directors that come to us and who are looking to put on a production or who have a particular production in mind that they'd like to do with Vermont Theater Company, and we try to figure out where those fit. If we have a very heavy dramatic piece, we may put that off, maybe not do that in February or March, but maybe do that in May when spring has sprung and, you know, we can get people back to a place where they're not leaving very depressed and also going out into a dark and cold world.
Seriously, Brandon, I mean, is that actually a thought that you have? Like, we don't want to have something too heavy because people just, they don't want it?
Yes and no. I mean, I think it's not the deciding factor, but, you know, as an example, last year we had two productions that we put up in the spring. The first was a comedy called Shakespeare in Hollywood, which I directed, and it went up in March. A comedy mixing the Hollywood time of the early 20th century and, you know, throwing some Shakespeare into the mix. And we had a drama that was about loss and losing your parents and witnessing your parent go through dementia. And, you know, I think there were people who were really hesitant with our company who said, well, maybe we should wait until, you know, we have a couple of comedies lined up in the queue till we throw that out to our audience. It's, you know, really great productions. But, you know, I think, you know, We do try to balance out the kind of plays that we do and the kind of plays that we produce with our audiences as well. So
what are you working on right now?
Well, we have two productions coming up during the winter. The first is actually a staged reading of the Dixie Swim Club, which is by Jesse Jones, Nicholas Hope, and Jamie Wooden. That'll be going up at the Hooker Dunham Theater in Gallery in Brattleboro, actually this weekend, the 23rd and the 24th. On Saturday, the 23rd, it'll be 7:30 p.m., and on Sunday we'll have a 3 p.m. matinee staged reading, and the tickets are all $10 a piece. You know, it's a group of women. The play is about a group of women who bonded in college and have, you know, continued to get together. And the play takes place over 4 weekends, but over the span of 33 years, and kind of looks in at these women as they continue to progress through life. And meet new challenges, but still stick together and serve as a support group for one another.
And then you have a second production you said you're also working on.
Yes, we have a second production that will go up. It's called On the Verge. It goes up at the end of February. The two weekends are the 26th through the 28th, and then March 3rd through March 6th. And all of our productions, by the way, in the evening are at 7:30 p.m., and then our Sunday matinees are always at 3 p.m. On the Verge is another female-heavy play that follows, you know, kind of the adventures of three Victorian women who go into what they call or believe to be terra incognita, this, you know, unexplored land, and they're from very different backgrounds, but they kind of all exhibit their own independence in a way, both not just from men, but from the world around them. You quickly realize that these women are actually traveling through space and time and picking up a lot of future and a lot of perspective as they move along on their journey. That'll also go up in the Hooker Dunham Theater in Brattleboro. Tickets for those are $15 and $12 for matinees, seniors, and students. We really try to keep our Our ticket price is low. Vermont Theater Company is a nonprofit community theater company, which, you know, really aims to present productions, theater productions, for people at an affordable rate and, you know, quality theater. And, you know, we have a really, as you know, I'm sure, thriving arts and theater community down in Brattleboro and in Windham County in southern Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly a real gift to be able to work with people who are so passionate about this work and do so in a way where we can do it. We can, because we've been around for now 32 years, we can present a lot of these plays at minimal cost, allowing our ticket prices to remain low. And we've also established relationships with, you know, really great people who support us, from corporate sponsors to individual donors. And it's been a really great run at 32 years.
Well, you know, you said you think of yourself as a community resource, and I guess you take that very seriously, to the point where sometimes the community gets very involved in your productions, including, I hear, one time at one of your Shakespeare in the Park productions that involved a local 3-year-old who had not been previously cast in the production.
That's correct. So every summer we do a Shakespeare in the Park production for $5 for the community. It's our annual gift to the community. We used to do it for free. We do a Shakespeare production at the Living Memorial Park in Brattleboro. And 2 years ago, I believe, the play was As You Like It. And our, you know, as we're sitting outside, the one performance that I had gone to watch friends and the production, about somewhere in the second act, a small child ran across the stage, and ran across the stage butt naked. And this happened about 3 or 4 other times in some really key moments in the play too. And I think, you know, the actors on stage were very good about it, and, you know, able to kind of throw a side eye in a way, but also just, you know, I think we just have a very broad range of ages and kinds of people who come to see our productions, from naked 3-year-olds to people who've been coming to our shows for 32 years.
As the parent of a toddler, you're making me think I should never, ever go to a theater production ever again with my child.
Well, as long as your child keeps their clothes on. That was the most confusing part, was how this child continued to remove all of their clothes and then get into a place where they could just run across the stage again.
Well, you know, that child must have been very into the production.
And we hope to see him in future productions with the Vermont Theater Company, but in costume.
That's Brandon Batham. He's president of the Vermont Theater Company based in Brattleboro. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Jane.
We are talking about all the great theater you can trudge through the snow to see this winter, preferably leaving your clothes on even once you get to the theater. Call and tell us about your production, or from the audience perspective, what you love about going to the theater at this time of year. Coming up, we're going to hear from Northern Stage and Vermont Stage, and you can share your recommendations at vpr.net. Just click on Vermont Edition or call 1-800-639-2211. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Musicals, comedies, dramas, there are so many good theater productions to suit any taste at this time of year. So we're checking in with just a handful of companies staging interesting productions this winter. And we're hearing from you with your favorites and what you're most looking forward to seeing. Call 1-800-639-2211 with your take, or post a note on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. Sharon says on Saturday, January 30th, Vermont Pride Theater at the Chandler Theater in Randolph will present the first Vermont production of Terrence McNally's 1994 play Love, Valor, Compassion, in a one-night-only staged reading to benefit Vermont Cares and the HIV-HCV Resource Center. Love, Valor, Compassion introduces us to 8 gay men who gather for 3 memorable summer weekends in a lakeside house in Dutchess County, north of New York City, where they relax, reflect, and plan for survival in an era plagued by AIDS. Northern Stage's Assistant Artistic Director Eric Love is making a guest directorial appearance. And speaking of Northern Stage, we're now joined by Carol Dunn, who's Artistic Director. Northern Stage is based in White River Junction. Carol, what a pleasure to have you with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
So we've been talking with a couple of amateur companies where the actors are unpaid. Your company is a professional one where you're working with union actors. Do you think
Right.
Does that make any difference in what people experience?
Well, Well, I mean, of course it does, but not in all the dastardly ways that one would think. You know, we're not necessarily better because we're fully professional, but we certainly are different. We are a LORT theater, which is the League of Resident Theaters and sort of the highest level of professional regional theaters. It means a cast for a show that we do has, 8 to 10 to 12 professional actors from New York and all over the country. And so what we find is that the discipline level that it takes to be a full-time actor, which is fairly anachronistic in our culture, but that discipline enables us to take a show and get it to a level of excellence fairly early on and then go further, you know, from there, so that we try to present shows that have a little bit of a Northern States stamp on them of originality or experimentation, our own flavor. And that's what you can do when you have a fully professional group of people to work with. They're very flexible.
Well, it's all the more impressive, I suppose, that you get actors from other places to come, given that you don't have productions during the summertime. You're in the shoulder seasons and in the winter. You have camps and other things running in the summer, but your season runs from October to May.
That's right. And so we really are more of a resident theater. I used to run a summer theater, and certainly we had all of those wonderful people who want to only come up here when the weather is warm and stunning. But we are we attract people who live here. We are less a vacation destination than people who live here and are attracted to the arts and want the arts and nature and education to be a huge part of their lives.
You mean for your audience?
Our audience.
So what are you actually working on right now?
Well, right now we just had a new play festival, and we started this 2 years ago, and we are very passionate about developing work for the American theater. And we have a new play called Mad Love that we premiered in our festival 2 years ago by Marisa Smith. It's four 20-somethings in New York City who did not graduate from college unscathed by frat life, binge drinking, etc. And they're sort of trying to connect with each other in a romantic way in, you know, a distracted and fairly shallow culture, hookup culture. So that's Mad Love, and that premieres January 27th. And new work is really one of our calling cards now.
Can you also tell me about this spoof that you're working on, The Hound of the Baskervilles?
Sure.
Because that's obviously the exact same name as the book by Arthur Conan Doyle. So do people think that they're going to see a reproduction of an Arthur Conan Doyle story?
Well, I hope not, because it's not going to be. And they're going to say, wait a minute, Carol. But it's a spoof, and that's in all of our marketing. It certainly is the story, and I will say that our director is very passionate about Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and about the story. And so the story will absolutely be told, but it's told in that wonderful vaudevillian style of three actors playing a million characters, telling the story, but it is funny and joyous and really embraces, you know, the Marx Brothers and that kind of physical and smart comedy. So it's a different experience. I spoke at the Sherlock Holmes Club of the Upper Valley recently and got everybody excited about it because we do tell the story. It's just in a wacky way. Yep.
That's Carol Dunn. She's Artistic Director of White River Junction-based Northern Stage. Carol, thank you so much. Good luck with the productions.
Oh, thank you. Take care.
Listeners, share your favorite winter theater experiences, memories, what you're really looking forward to this season. Go to vpr.net and click on Vermont Edition or give us a call, 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Sharon is calling in from Burlington. Hi, Sharon. Go ahead.
Hi, Jane. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm really excited that you're doing this show.
Yeah, us too.
I wanted to call in. I'm the co-director of a theater company called Theater Kavanaugh. We're Vermont's only company dedicated to staging the Jewish experience. And right now we're working with another company called In Tandem Arts to produce a show of Brundabar. It's called Brundabar, A Musical Tale. And people might recognize it from the book with illustrations by Morris Sendak.
Mm-hmm.
And the words or lyrics were actually written by Tony Kushner or rewritten by Tony Kushner. It's a story that was written by a Jewish Czech composer named Hans Krause just prior to the Nazi occupation of Czechoslovakia. And the children's opera made its way into the Terezin concentration camp, where the children of Terezin staged the show 55 times,
wow,
which was quite a feat to do this actually in the camp. So we are using the libretto by Tony Kushner, and we are staging a very community-driven show that'll take place at Kontoise Auditorium March 11th through 13th and 18th through 20th. We have 32 cast members. It's being directed by Trish Denton and conducted by Yutaka Kono. Our pianist is Anamika McLean, Anamika Spelstra McLean. And we've got Randall Pierce is our musical director. We've got an incredible number of really talented artists and
Sharon,
theater technicians.
It sounds wonderful. Thank you so much for telling us about Brindabar. We're going to put a link up at vpr.net on the Vermont Edition page for today's show so people can hear about that and get all those details that you were just telling us. What a wonderful thing. Let's turn now to Vermont Stage, which is based in Burlington, and talk with Christina Alisea. She's producing artistic director for this professional company. Christina, nice to talk with you again.
Hi, Jane. Good to talk to you, too.
I understand this season you're doing all Vermont premieres. What are you most excited about?
Well, I'm very excited about our upcoming show, which opens on Wednesday, called Mothers and Sons by Terrence McNally. And that is a play that premiered just a couple years ago. And it's actually sort of a sequel to a play that he wrote back in the late 80s, early 90s, called Andre's Mother, and it's basically about a woman who lost her son to AIDS and decides to knock on the door of her her passed away son's ex-lover and find out what is going on with his life. And he's moved on, and he's married now and has a son, and she just still hasn't gotten over the loss of her son to AIDS.
Sounds like a powerful production.
It is. It is. And it's also quite funny, and it celebrates what it means to be a family.
You know, you typically perform out of Flynn Space, and this is not the main stage at the Flynn Theater, but a very intimate theater. What kind of challenges does it pose to set design, staging, how you sort of think about engaging the audience?
Sure. Every theater has its challenges. This one, I think, just in terms of it being a small stage, there are only certain types of plays that we can produce there. But with those challenges, it also provides lots of opportunities. So our audiences can come, and the front row seats, their feet are actually on the stage. So they're sitting, less than 2 feet away often from the actors. They can see them sweat in a scene. They could touch them if they wanted to and lean forward. So it's really almost an interactive experience for our audiences. There's not a bad seat in the house.
We talked with you last year about your staging of The Mountaintop and the community discussions around race and other issues that you were having after those performances. You've expanded on that idea, and you're now doing something called Talkback Thursdays for every show you perform, I think. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Absolutely, yes. So we, from The Mountaintop, we got an amazing response from our audiences that were really interested in having conversations about the issues that we're discussing through our work. And so we decided to create this program called Talkback Thursday. So after every Thursday night performance of our shows, we invite the audience to stick around, and we've brought in people from our different positions in the community to talk about the subject matter in the play. So for the Mothers and Sons, for example, we're having panel discussions with various leaders from the LGBT community. We're going to be speaking with Kim Fountain, the ED from the Pride Center of Vermont, Kathy Hennett and Peter Jacobson from Vermont Cares, Sherry Corbin from the Gay and Lesbian Fund of Vermont, Heather Simmons from the Lund Family Center, and a former board member from Vermont People with AIDS. And they're all going to gather together over the course of 3 Thursdays and talk a little bit about where we are as a culture in regards to HIV/AIDS and how it continues to impact our community as well, and the broader LGBT community as well.
I love that idea of having those kinds of conversations after people have just been sort of opened up emotionally by watching whatever production you're putting on. That's a very cool idea. Is there some joy in winter theater, Christina, that, you know, people get by coming together when it is cold and dark and when, you know, our social calendars all fill up in the summertime and in the winter there seems like there's a little bit less social cohesion? Do you find that there's a sort of a different feel?
You know, I mean, definitely. I think people are better primed to come to the theater in the winter. You know, they're seeking interesting indoor activities, and what better than to come to see a theater in an intimate space? And you know, I was talking to someone on the phone yesterday, and he was telling me how much he enjoys just doing exactly that, taking his coat off and Flint space, and getting a drink and going and sitting down with a bunch of his friends and watching great theater. And then being able to go afterward and have a cocktail and talk about it some more. I mean, that's why I do it. And Vermont Stage, the kind of work that we do is all about starting discussions with our audiences about important subject matters. And, you know, the winter season is a great time to do that.
Christina Alisea is producing artistic director of Vermont Stage based in Burlington. Christina, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Hallie in Morrisville emailed in to say, Stowe's Town Hall Theater is a beautiful space that brings crowds for summer shows, but is typically dormant in the winter. Local celeb Rusty DeWeese is putting on his Winter Star series starting this Friday through the weekend of March 5th. The series is more of a variety show with different acts each week. And let's go to Aline, who's calling in from White River Junction. Hi, Aline. Go ahead.
Hi. Although the theater I'm plugging is the Shagerbridge Theater. It's in Enfield, New Hampshire, but it services the Upper Valley, which includes both Vermont and New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very small, professional, nonprofit, intimate theater in the round, and we tend to do shows that are sort of like off-Broadway or London Fringe. We're opening this Thursday with Sex with Strangers, and we run 5 performances a year. We're only open from October to May. And we have about 12 performances for each show.
Well, it sounds wonderful. Aline, thanks for telling us. And we will put a link up for the Shagerbridge Theater in Enfield, New Hampshire at vpr.net. Just click on today's Vermont edition and you can see information for all of the theater companies that we talked to and about in this segment. And please keep your thoughts coming if you'd like to share at vpr.net. Just click on Vermont edition and you can add your company or your favorite performances. Coming up, if you've felt some rumbling underfoot this winter, it may not have been an earthquake. It might have been a frostquake. Never heard of one? Well, I hadn't either until yesterday. But we'll fill you in next on Vermont Edition. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. All right, so it's a cold night after a quick freeze in early January. You're woken up at 3 a.m. by a loud booming noise and the house shakes. But in the morning, you mention it to neighbors down the road and they have no idea what you're talking about. What happened? Was it an earthquake? Are you just losing your mind? Well, it might have been a frostquake or a cryoseism. The Shelburne News has reported that town residents have been experiencing sounds and shakings that could be caused by these frostquakes. The Vermont Geological Survey doesn't track the phenomena, but the Maine Geological Survey does. So to tell us a little bit about what cryoseisms are and how they happen, Henry Berry joins us. He's a bedrock geologist for the Maine Geological Survey. Henry, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
All right, so what exactly is a cryoseism or a frostquake?
Well, your introduction sets it up quite well. It's an event. It's a naturally occurring phenomenon that has effects that are like a tectonic earthquake, but they're not caused by the same sort of deep forces. It's something that happens just because of temperature drops and contraction of the Earth's surface. So it's a phenomenon that happens right at the Earth's surface.
So it's not something that's, you know, very, very low, internal, into the bedrock, but as you said, right at the surface, but it requires some pretty specific weather changes. So very, very saturated soil, I understand, and then a temperature drop that goes from a little bit above freezing or right around freezing to quite cold in a short time.
Well, I mean, the fact is that these things are very hard to study because they happen fast, and they only affect a very local area. So we don't really know a lot about exactly what the conditions might be. But the things that seem to, you know, once we get the stories and put the information together, the patterns that show up are, as you described, that it's like the first cold snap of the year, especially if there's not much snow cover, so that the cold air has a chance to suddenly freeze the ground surface.
So then that makes sense for what some residents of Shelburne might have been experiencing in early January after we had had that really warm December and it had been kind of wet, and then we suddenly got a cold snap. Do you think those could have been frost quakes that they experienced?
Well, I think it's a good possibility. I saw the article that you forwarded from the Shelburne News, and I think that it actually does a nice job of getting the kind of information that we look at in order to make this sort of decision. So the things that are important in trying to differentiate, so there are ways that these frost quakes are similar to tectonic earthquakes, and there are ways that they're really different. The similarities we talked about a little bit, and that the effects, a loud booming noise or a sudden shock or a jolt and shaking, are the same sorts of effects you might experience in an earthquake. But the differences are it only affects just one house or one place, and a few hundred yards away, nobody would even know it's happening. It's very localized, and it also doesn't really affect the deep earth, so it doesn't send seismic waves through the earth's crust, so they're not detected by seismographs across New England.
So how does the Maine Geological Survey actually keep track of them? Just citizen reports?
Yeah, that's it. Earthquakes, it's kind of a byproduct. We weren't really looking for them, but we collect information on earthquakes when they occur. Vermont, I think, is sort of a low-hazard state, and Maine is a moderate-hazard state. That most of New England has some low level of earthquake susceptibility. So we had a website that we were collecting information, and we got a few of these odd ones that came in. People experienced earthquakes, but we knew that there hadn't been one. And so gradually realized that this was something worth tracking.
Rather than calling them crazy.
Well, they'd tell me that when they call. They say, hey, my neighbors think I'm crazy, but I really felt something. And so I say, you know, it's not up to me to decide whether you're crazy. That's outside my field. But this is the sort of thing that can happen.
If you had a seismograph right in the house under which a frost quake was occurring, would it actually register on the Richter scale?
I was with you right up until you said Richter scale.
Uh-oh. What did I say wrong?
Yeah. In fact, this is an important distinction. So there are two ways that we measure the size of an earthquake. One is magnitude scale, which is, so the Richter scale is a measurement. It's a numerical calculation of the amount of energy that's released.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're talking about with these frost quakes or cryoseisms is the intensity scale. So it's a different scale that measures what the effects are. So the intensity scale really relies entirely on people telling us what happened and making observations. And it's in that way we try to connect the intensity scale with the magnitude scale. And for tectonic earthquakes, things that are generated in the Earth's crust, there's a pretty good correspondence. But with these things, it's the amount of intensity that people are feeling just doesn't match up with the seismic waves that are generated. So there's almost nothing that shows up on the instruments. That having been said, there was a specific study done in the early 80s around Albany at the time of the people were reporting some cryoseisms, and they put seismometers in neighbors' houses a few hundred yards apart. And sure enough, they picked up the vibrations, but different neighbors were reporting different events. So one house, they would feel something, and the instruments recorded it. But in the next house, the instruments didn't record that event. They recorded a different one that happened maybe an hour later.
Wow, that's fascinating. Can these actually do any damage? I mean, it sounds a little bit worrying if you think that maybe one of these could be happening right next to you.
Well, the it's the same sort of damage that you'd expect by freezing ground in New England anyway. You know, cracks, the most common thing that has been found associated with these is a crack in such a, like a driveway or something that you knew was smooth beforehand. So it can cause cracks, but they generally don't go very deep. They're just at the ground surface. So there was one report we had of somebody who said that their crack in the foundation had happened associated with this. But I don't know. I'd say very rarely and maybe never.
Well, in that case, I hope we all get to experience one of these within our lifetimes. Henry Barry is a bedrock geologist from the Maine Geological Survey, and he's been telling us about cryoseisms or frost quakes. Henry, thank you so much. What a pleasure to have you with us.
All right, great. It's been nice talking to you.
And finally today, as you wander around the state into small towns and villages, it's usually the church steeple that towers above the landscape. In some instances, you might see people suspended from cranes working on those steeples. But in the winter, those workers, called steeplejacks, are indoors preparing for installations they'll make when the weather warms up. We stopped in at Southgate Steeplejacks in Barrie to see what they get up to at this time of year.
I'm Jay Southgate, and I have this tiny little company called Southgate Steeplejacks, and anything to do with a steeple, from a quick inspection to building a new one, fixing it in place, or a combination thereof. This place was the Wells Lamps and Granite Company, and at one time it was one of the most happening granite companies in the Northeast. Over here it consists of three buildings, a machine shop and a blacksmith shop. And the blacksmith shop is where people made the hooks and the chains that would lift the 50-ton granite blocks out of the ground. No engineering, just blacksmiths who knew what they were doing. This building we're in here, it was the Russia Pavilion at the New York World's Fair in 1939. And it has a crane in it that came from an Erie Lackawanna steel mill. And the Wells Lamps and Granite Company found the crane and found the building at the World's Fair, realized they could make them fit, and poured these 8-foot square concrete pillars to accommodate it all. For some reason, the noise that this makes, it always makes me think of one of Wile E. Coyote's gizmos. I'm not quite sure why. We use this crane for the same kinds of things anybody would, moving steeple parts around, bringing loads of material in. You know, for example, we have a whole bunch of red slate over there that's going on the Burlington steeple, and you know, the truck that delivers it can just bring it right in, and we can pick it off the truck and put it where we want it. And it's also fun. And a couple of years ago, I had some friends come over with their sons, and every son had to bring something that needed to get squished, and we just dropped granite blocks on old bicycles and 8-track tape players and things like that. So it's purposeful, but it's also a ton of fun. You may remember that 3 or 4 years ago, an arsonist burned the steeple on the College Street Congregational Church. And we're just getting started building the new one, and I will be building this 60-foot steeple here in my shop in 3 parts, shipping in August, because that's when the YMCA, which is across the street, closes. So that's when we'll put it in, because we need to close a street. So that'll be a big day. Lots of stress, lots of pressure. Crane day is always a big deal. Yeah, it's sort of like putting on the show. You know, you've been rehearsing for however many months, and now it's showtime. Yeah, when I was younger, I loved to do woodworking and just sweat individual joints, maybe spend a day cutting dovetail joints on a drawer or something like that. And it's funny, as I've gotten older, I've lost my interest in that kind of small, meticulous thing. And this may sound like a cop-out, but they're 80 feet up in the air. So how they look from 10 feet away doesn't really matter. And if you're allowed to take some liberties with how good they look up close, you can take steps to make sure they endure. So I care about doing what's going to make it endure.
That's Jay Southgate of Southgate Steeplejacks in Barrie. VPR's Rick Singeri produced that piece. He's one of Vermont Edition's producers as well, along with Sam Gale Rosen. Liam Connors directed the show. Our theme music was composed by Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. And our executive producer is Patty Daniels. There are big plans on the table for some of the state's shopping malls, even as malls across Vermont, and the country, I should say, are losing stores. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to check in on Vermont's malls and shopping centers, what the retail landscape looks like now, and what's coming next. Send your questions or comments to Vermont Edition at vpr.net. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.